Good morning, and welcome to an episode of Dualistic Unity Raw that is, frankly, it's a little bit more. We are kicking off today where we are going to be raising awareness and hopefully some funding for Fidelium. Anybody who doesn't already know about Fidelium, we've done an interview with Trish Horrocks, who is the leader and creator of Fidelium recently. You can check that out on our podcast. Please do so. And if not, definitely check out Fidelium on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever it is you listen to music. But these are, they're just a group of young musicians. They're inspiring, they're enthusiastic, they're committed to shit. And of course, they're going through all the same stuff that we all do in terms of doubting themselves and thinking about themselves and going through school and learning what it is to be an adult and trying to get some kind of an idea of what the hell life is all about. And in the middle of all of that, they have this passion for playing gorgeous music, and they play at such a professional level that it's so hard to not look at it in awe and then look back at my life and go, oh man, that would have done me so much good. You know, and I know as a parent to one of the kids in Fidelium, it does. It really is just an amazing program. So today we're going to be fundraising and raising awareness for Fidelium through another marathon live stream. I'm stoked for this. We're going to be starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you can join us, please do for as long as you can. Every comment, every share, every like, if you're on the Instagram, all of that stuff, it all helps. Every ripple changes the pond because these kids deserve some recognition. Trish and Jeff are amazing people. They deserve a little bit in terms of community support. And just frankly, these people should be famous. So I'm stoked for today. This is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. I'm very excited. And yeah, I mean, in terms of the recognition, the group has gotten a lot of recognition. They've won awards across Canada for, what was the award they won?
Canadian Young Musicians Award.
Yeah, Canadian Young Musicians Award for all of Canada, too. So it's not like they haven't been recognized.
They're up for a second one in April. Yeah,
and they're up for a second one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do live performances on Vancouver Island, and just an incredible group and something that we resonate with a ton. And, you know, anytime, especially for me, seeing teenagers expressing themselves authentically, going through a time period where, you know, it's tumultuous and there's a lot of comparison. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of things that you go through, shifts, changes. And, you know, sometimes it's tough to have something to ground you. And I think music is definitely something that can help ground anyone, you know, as an adult, as a kid. And so when it's, you know, when it's something like music that you're able to support and get behind, and, you know, something that it's not driven by profits, it's not driven by money, it's not driven by, you know, the typical mentality that most people are used to. Get to the next thing, just make more, because eventually you're going to get to this point of happiness. It's really a bunch of kids embodying that enthusiasm, that passion for a thing, you know, in the moment, working on something, working through stuff, working through. They all started at a point where they weren't very good at violin, right? And they've put in a lot of time, a lot of energy to play beautiful music. So we're going to be able to, on the live stream later, chat with a few of them, yeah, get some performances,
listen to
from some of them, probably play some clips of some of their orchestra. So it's going to be a very exciting live stream and another marathon. We were able to raise over $3,000 during our last marathon live stream for a retreat ticket for our California retreat.
Two people coming to that retreat who couldn't have made it otherwise. And so we're so very grateful for that. What we're raising money for this time is to run a TikTok campaign for Fidelium, because oddly enough, I live here on Vancouver Island, and Fidelium is by far one of the most talented groups that exist on the island, and they've been around for quite some time, generation after generation, as it were. And I go around to restaurants, or I'll go to the bar, went to karaoke the other night. Nobody's heard of them. Nobody has heard of them. And as much as they are talented and award-winning and nationally recognized and all that stuff locally, they don't fill a church sometimes. And it's simply because they're so focused on their craft, they're so focused on what they do, that the marketing isn't necessarily there, that the focus on the profit isn't there. They're not out running advertising campaigns and doing all that, right? Like, it was something for us to try and ask Trish to join us because she's not the kind of person who typically puts herself out there and says, like, hey, look at me, I run Fidelium, right? Because she just loves to do it. She's just that kind of person. And so this is great. These kids need, you know, to be encouraged. And a big part of that is, I'm not going to put, you know, too fine a point on it, funding. You know, if you can't fill seats, if you can't sell the tickets for local events, it's very hard to perpetuate this program. It's very hard to continue to put in the hours. It's very hard to, you know, and all of the parents for Fidelium, they volunteer, man. You know, they put in tons of hours volunteering at these events because they're not focused on the profit, because the focus of this is that enthusiasm, is that expression, right? And so our hope here is to raise enough money to run a TikTok campaign locally on Vancouver Island, as well as in the Vancouver area, just letting local residents know about Fidelium, playing some pieces, because they're already on TikTok. If you haven't checked out Fidelium on TikTok, check out Fidelium on TikTok. Please give them a follow. They could definitely appreciate it. We're just trying to raise awareness for this fantastic group. And so we're going to run a campaign for them there. And then after that, they've got some live events coming up. There's a performance coming up in June at the Port Theater in Nanaimo. This event is just fantastic. I'm going to play some music from Fidelium as we go through the marathon, just because if you haven't heard these kids already, it's going to blow your mind. They're just fantastic. But that's the point of today. Not only that, the kids are going to be joining us 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to be joined by three of the younger members, the junior members of Fidelium, and two of the senior members. They're going to be talking to us a little bit about what it is to be in Fidelium, and they're going to be playing two pieces for us, a faster piece and a slower piece. So it's going to be a nice spread for us. I can't imagine. It's so cool for me to be doing this, especially after the first of our Being Music with Dualistic Unity episodes that we recorded the other day. That was a lot of fun. Just being able to sit down with Jeff. Again, Jeff and Trish run Fidelium. And so just in being friends with them, chatting with them, hanging out with them, they were nice enough to say, hey, let's teach you some music. And so that's a new part. We also have a new series, Cooking with Dualistic. No, Dualistic Unity is Cooking. Pretty sure it was that. It's fun. We made chili yesterday while we were also doing a weed review. It's another series that we're doing. So there's a lot happening. Somebody here is like, what? You're in the same room? Yes. Yes, we are. And the reason is because this is where we are with Dualistic Unity now. Andrew has come out to the island. He is establishing a new sense of space for himself in a place that he is not familiar with at all. And in the meantime, we are making a whole ton of content and just frankly having a good time. So it's been a lot of fun so far. So yes, welcome, as Marie said, to the new age of Dualistic Unity, where things are going to keep getting more and more fun. And we're going to keep getting more and more involved with things like this. Fidelium's dope. I'm so excited for this day. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Super excited. And I got a QR code here. That is for the GoFundMe. Yeah. Just raising some money to promote some advertising for Fidelium, get the word out, get some of those. Because if we can fill the seats for those concerts, if they're able to do that, like, that changes the game for them. Because, like, the talent's there. Like, we play some clips for you, check out some of their music. Like, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, how are these kids not, you know, nationally, and they are nationally recognized. It's just in the local area, they're not as well known as they could be. So it's super exciting just to be able to do things like this, just to get involved in projects and help someone out, because you see, you know, what's behind it. And even helping them out, it's just, we're just getting involved, just doing our thing, kind of doing what we can, because we got, you know, we got energy, we got some spare energy, and we're going to be on doing stuff, talking about stuff, live streaming, chatting, and anyway, so we might as well, you know, get behind some things like this and get the word out for something like this, because it'll fulfill everyone's life in a lot of different ways listening to them.
Oh my god, yeah. So, and again, like, these are kids, they're going to grow up, you know, they're going to become quote-unquote adults, and they're going to remember being teenagers, going through what it is to be a teenager, and actually feeling support from the community, feeling support from people who they've never met. You know, talking to Trish and Jeff, they thought it was amazing that there are Dualistic Unity audience members who listen to Fidelium halfway across the world. They're like, what? And I'm like, oh yeah. No, there's people who are like, have you heard these people? She's like, how is that possible? It's like, how is that not possible? That should be possible, straight up. And the fact is, if our collective focus was a little less on egotistical distraction and a little bit more on our own desire to want to express with enthusiasm, perhaps we would see the value of things like this a little bit more clearly. And so we're very excited to be a part of this. That said, here's an actual clip from Fidelium. Enjoy. Exactly. Somebody's asking for context. We are doing a marathon live stream today. Later on, 4 p.m. Eastern time is when it officially starts, though we are doing it kind of right now, for Fidelium. They are a youth music group here on Vancouver Island, and they are just phenomenal, as you just witnessed. They are nationally recognized. They are award-winning, and they hate to actually hate to mention that. Isn't that funny? The fact that they've won a nationally recognized award is not something that they actually feel comfortable drawing attention to. That says so much about them and the fact that they're up for a second award this year, despite kind of being hesitant to promote that. So this is what we're doing right now is we are trying to bring attention to this group of incredible young people. The group itself has been circulating and going through different generations for about 15 years. We've had Trish and Jeff Horrocks on the show. Trish is going to be joining us at 4:30. Eastern time today to talk a little bit more about Fidelium. She's just going to be hanging out for a half hour, an hour, just to help us kick things off for this this marathon fundraiser. But that's what this is. And somebody was saying, you know, do we know somebody in here? We do know somebody in here, actually. My daughter is a member of Fidelium. She's a junior member of Fidelium. She will also be part of the live stream later on today, where we see some of the Fidelium members, three junior members and two senior members, play two pieces for us on the screen during our live stream. That'll be 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. My daughter's going to be in there, so that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm super excited because just having kids on that are this enthusiastic and to be at that age and that focused and that determined and like going through things like that, like it's a beautiful thing, especially. Because it's like a mentality behind it too. Like they're not trying to prove anything. They're not trying to, you know, feel good about themselves. They're just authentically expressing themselves, digging into something that they're passionate about. And it shows, like the performances are absolutely incredible. So being able to, you know, just chat with kids like this, going through this at, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, because again, most of us like don't develop past that sort of mentality, and like the urge even to try new things frightens most adults. By the time you're 20, 25, 30, like yeah. Most people don't try many new things.
I'm 44. I just learned about the 12 tones the other day. Like I finally had the courage to actually go like, fine, let's go into a world that frankly, I don't understand at all.
Man.
Right. And yeah. I mean, how long could I have done that for? And I just didn't, yeah. You know, for that reason. The other thing I really enjoy about this, and it's so reminiscent of Sherlock Holmes to me, but my daughter, for example, she's a teenager. Like I said, these are all teenagers. These are people going just through the thick of the initial shit, right? And so she's got stuff going on with friends and stress and school and all that. But when she picks up her violin, man, that all fades away. It all fades away. She plays her violin to be in the moment with it, mm-hmm. and to be able to feel that moment and to have music that goes with it. Like every time you're experiencing a little bit more of yourself in that place, you're literally experiencing the most beautiful music that's expressing that state. Like what a great way to reinforce, you know, the feeling of being present and being yourself. And you see it inform her. You see it in a lot of these kids on stage too, because it's not like they don't have insecurity. It's not like it's easy for them to go up. And I appreciate the fact that Trish and Jeff actually encourage the kids to go up when they do have like an event and then introduce in pairs the next set. So they like, she'll get two kids to come up and introduce the next set. And all of them are just kind of doing it in their own way, trying to figure out what it is, terrified. Right. And so it's so great that they get to go up there, because then not only do they hear the applause for their music, but they hear the applause when they go up and speak, you know, regardless of how they do, they hear the applause in both ways. And it's because the expression itself is the valuable part. I get fucking weepy. I'm not going to lie. Like I get super emotional and choked up thinking about Fidelium and thinking about all the things that they do. It's amazing to me. And so this is something I would love to see. Oh my God, I would love to see groups inspired by Fidelium, because there is stuff that they do that I've never seen anywhere else. If you watch the videos, and I encourage you to check out the episode with Trish, because there's an 8-minute video at the end of that where it's two pieces back to back. And you see how the kids not only play the pieces, but they look at each other in the eyes while they're playing, just to touch base and go, good. And sometimes as one dips, the other one looks and they pick each other up. And so collectively, they're all just this one organism, and you can feel it as they're playing. And it's just brilliant. And it's something that, again, we've talked to Trish about. We talked about how that's come about, how some of the choreographies come about, mm-hmm. like the fact that they hired a choreographer. And then finally, they're just like, why don't we just do this ourselves? You know, and so it's all just been this organic growth over time. And man, would I love to see just something with such huge potential and such a beautiful ripple just explode. I would love to see, you know, newspaper articles, you know, maybe some news clips, stuff like that. Just some exposure for this program and these kids, just to let them know, like, holy shit, you inspire us. You know, keep being you.
Oh, I couldn't imagine anything more exciting than that. Because, and with their performances too, I'm so excited to see one of their performances in person. Because, like, throughout my life, I've always tried to be, you know, do the right thing, do the perfect thing, the correct thing. And just imagining a bunch of kids having more of that mentality instead of what they express, just like having fun, being there with each other, connecting, doing the eye contact thing, having some movement to it. Like if they were up there all trying to be perfect, and like, even if they were, there wouldn't be as much of a connection. There wouldn't be as much of a human experience. Like almost in the world, it seems like we've gotten to, you know, so much comfort on a certain side, or desire for comfort, that we don't want to see that the human experience is a full spectrum. Like it doesn't just include perfection. And so striving to be perfect all the time creates this sort of staleness with life. And so as much as, you know, their music is beautiful, I get just as much from their, you know, just the way that they express it and the combination, seeing that like they're able to play absolutely beautiful, like magical sounding music and have fun with it. It's like such an incredible balance, because they do take it seriously for sure. They put in a ton of time, a ton of energy, a ton of effort. And, you know, to be able to do all of that, then when you show up for the performance, it's like, this is when I get to have fun. This is when I get to, you know, really, really enjoy myself and express myself. And so, yeah, being able to see something like that and just having the opportunity to be involved with something like that and a bunch of kids just expressing themselves is just a beautiful thing. Because, yeah, a lot of the world isn't taking that time to just express themselves, taking that time to do something for the sake of doing it, not trying to get somewhere. And you can tell that these kids are really just enthusiastic about what they're doing, and it shows in the music and shows in the performances. And I couldn't imagine a better thing to get involved with. And it's an honor to just be able to get involved with something like them. So I'm super excited for this live stream. We got another shout out to that, 4 p.m. Eastern time, 1 p.m. Pacific. Going to be starting a marathon live stream to help raise some money to raise awareness for Fidelium.
Follow Fidelium. If you're on Instagram, at Fidelium. Yeah, exactly. You can spell it thusly. It's on the screen there. It's where the QR code. TikTok as well. Give them a follow. YouTube, you can follow them there. They're on Spotify. They've got a playlist. There's a new album that is coming out in the very near future. We're going to be offering that for sale on our website. There is a lot happening. So, yes, we do have somebody who's apparently just spamming the comment section. Majek, yeah, I'll work on that in a minute. I'm not too worried about it. I appreciate the fact that they're just in here trying to self-soothe, honestly. Fill that comment section, please, by all means. It gives somebody else something to learn from. Because I think that's the point. We're going to switch gears now. This has been an interesting weekend, because a lot of what we do really comes down to just not thinking about what the impact's going to be. Like we do stuff, and we're like in terms of the podcast conversation, stuff like that. And it's so important that we not think about the end result, because the end result is what stops you from doing it. We start thinking about like, how is this going to land? What are people going to think about this? You know, like, well, who could we get the attention of? Like all of a sudden you're changing your expression. You're changing who you are in an attempt to try and get somewhere that you think is going to be something. And so much of what we talk about on the podcast is just not doing that. And the reason that we can do that is frankly because we practice it outside the podcast. You know, it's just throwing caution to the wind, as it were, and having a little bit of faith in yourself. And that's always the case. It doesn't matter on the conversation at all, whatsoever. And so I think that's why it's important to just keep doing that. And with these kids, the same is true. Like, they go up and they do these performances, and like, man, I can just picture myself behind a stage, you know, 300 people or something in the crowd, and you got your crew behind you, you got violins in your hand, like, holy shit, like, I can feel that. I'm not even there, you know, like, like, oh my God. So like, stuff like that. And I used to go through that just talking to a cashier at the grocery store. You know, there was no preparation for that. I wasn't carrying an instrument. I wasn't even performing. You know, I was just talking to a cashier at the grocery store, talking to somebody at the bus. Like, I mean, there was just always so much. And then you start to realize, like, oh Christ, just do it. Just do it, and it gets easier. And so the podcast has been a lot of that. And now these new segments that we're doing, the music segment, the weed review segment, you know, cooking with Dualistic Unity, or Dualistic Unity's cooking. Which one do you prefer, by the way, audience? Cooking with Dualistic Unity or Dualistic Unity is cooking? Because I think that would be, you know, a great way for us to decide, because we've been really trying to think about it, and we're not necessarily sure. We figured being food with Dualistic Unity was not the best necessarily message to be sending. You know, we didn't want to be like cannibalism with Dualistic Unity, but let us know what you think.
Yeah, keep us posted. But that's just it. Like, as soon as there's this idea of where something is going or where it should be going, like, it immediately cuts down on the experience of doing it. And like, we're really not trying to get anywhere. Like, to think that there's a spot that we're going to get to that all of a sudden is going to, it implies this sort of finality to our experience. And like, we're just experiencing, you know, we're just experience going through different things. Something piques our interest. We're trying to do something. It's like, yeah, let's do it. Now we're in person together. So it's pretty much all day. Just like, hey, want to jump into this? Hey, working on this. Hey, doing this. Hey, doing that. And it's fun and it's enjoyable because it is different. And so much of my life was spent, like, I couldn't fathom doing something not for a reason, you know, like for a known purpose or point that I made up in my head that's I'm striving towards and getting to. And it's that chasing the carrot mentality. It's straight up. And so, like, to not chase the carrot or run from the stick it's a different sort of experience. There isn't so much of a sense of direction, but it's always just a sense, just to feel better. But every time it's like, what am I trading for that sense of direction? What am I trading for assuming that I know where something is going? And so being willing to let go of that and just get involved in things, like, there's a lot more energy moment to moment. There's so much more there that you can pull from. And but it's I've got to say, it's like, it feels a lot different for me, like, getting on an episode like this. Like, I think back to times in my life where just getting on and like sitting here and talking and not having, you know, like a topic of conversation, not having necessarily a direction that this conversation is taking. Like, we get on here and like, we don't talk about anything beforehand. We just get on here and start talking. Figure we'll probably mention some stuff about the live stream later today, talk about Fidelium a little bit.
We woke up an hour ago. You were what, finished getting ready like 5 minutes before we started live streaming? Yeah, I went for a walk,
my coffee. Yeah, but like, what is life? Like, what is it really? And if not this experience that like is happening right now, and so how much am I going to trade by assuming that there is something that, you know, in a year is set in stone, something in 5 years, something in 10 years is set in stone, something tomorrow is set in stone. And so there's a balance with that experience. But, you know, when you do have a sense of what's going on, like right now, we're, you know, we spend our days working on Dualistic Unity. What that entails in the midst of Dualistic Unity isn't like set in stone throughout the day. It's just, you know, enthusiasm, expressing ourselves and like doing things and continuing to do things and just continuing to see where it plays out. But as soon as we, you know, trade some of that feeling of uncertainty where all that energy and enthusiasm is that you can, you know, put into something in the moment, as soon as you trade some of that for, you know, oh, well, we should be doing this or should be doing that, or setting this, you know, set path is going to be what's best. It's like it cuts down on degrees of that energy and enthusiasm. And so there's, you know, there's a balance, but yeah, we're just being ourselves and jumping on here and expressing whatever's there, to not even for anyone else, just because we can. And just because it's like, you know, why not? But it is an experience that you can have and you can do. And then it's like, you know, you're at the grocery store, you're chatting with someone, and like, you don't need to have a direction to that conversation. You don't need to, you know, try and get them to see you in a certain way. Like, you can just express yourself and be yourself and jump into things. And then there isn't so much of a need to judge yourself as you go. But yeah, it's different for sure, but it's exciting. And I'm having a lot of fun just continuing to jump into things. Even when I have discomforts arise, it's like, that's usually indicative of something that's good for me. You know,
I'm super excited that somebody actually just voted for being food. That made me happy. Thank you so very much. That brightened my day, because I mean, it's in the theme and it's not necessarily not true, because we are in fact eating ourselves, right? I mean, that's the whole point. Like, this is all one thing. This is all the same energetic being circulating that energy in a way that we take personally and assume has anything to do with like an individual eating another individual eating another individual. It's just the experience of individuality, right, being consumed and recycled. But the fact is it's just all one entity, you know. So it's kind of neat. Now there's another one for being food.
Oh baby. Right.
Careful, this could actually happen. Just saying. Okay. But yeah, that I guess that's the point. Like, yesterday was a great example. We just went out, we're like, you know, well, let's take a walk, we'll go over to the dispensary and pick up a pre-roll and you know, see what it's like, do a review of that. So we started doing that, and as we were going through the review, we got a little munchy. And we thought to ourselves, fuck, what are we gonna make for dinner tonight? And so there's a clip in the review that will also be the beginning of the episode of food, of, hey Andrew, feel like making chili? And so that's what we did. We looked up a chili recipe, and then we went bowling with my kid, and then we went to the grocery store. So we got some grocery shopping clips, and some of them are part of the weed review.
Yeah, crossover.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, what crosses over better than food and weed? Really?
Very little.
Right? Very little. Except for music, which we're covering today. Uh-huh. But the point being is that I haven't made chili in years, for one. I've never once considered doing what my daughter calls vlog, which is apparently what we're doing now. I don't look at it that way. I don't consider myself to be a cook. So there's all kinds of stuff that at one point would have stopped me in my tracks. Like, I wouldn't have even started. Right? Like, I still would have bought the pre-rolls. But, you know, everything from there, I know I would have had a toke and went, who fucking cares? And then put the phone down. I know that's what I would have done. I know that's what I would have done. And what's funny is that, why does it matter who would fucking care? I thought it'd be fun to make that video.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point, right? Like, I just thought it'd be fun to make the video. Why the fuck not? You know? And so suddenly now it's like I'm giving myself permission to do these things that seems so fucking weird, because I'm the one who took away the permission. Like, it's just like, how do you give yourself permission for something that you can just fucking do? You know, it's like, who am I asking? You know, it's like there's this invisible security guard that I've put there to say, no, you can't do that. But it's me, just dressed up as a fucking security guard. You know, it's just the funniest thing. It's like, I'm allowing myself. It's like, you don't need to do that. Just do it. You don't even need to go through that extra step of allowing unless you've already denied. Right? So it's just, It's so funny. So just stop thinking about it. Just stop thinking about it and fucking do it. Just do it. Because what's the worst that could happen? Doesn't do anything. Right? Like we do a weed review that flops. Nobody watches it. Still spent an afternoon getting high. Yeah. Still spent an afternoon doing bowling and cooking good food. Like who cares?
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Like the amount of times, and well, like I'll assume that it's someone else doing it. It's like, oh, I can't do this because of this. But there's one overarching assumption. It's like me assuming that I can't. It's like there's a bunch of reasons I could potentially come up with, but at the end of the day, it's just me telling myself, you know, oh, this is a stupid thing to say or share or express. Like I've done that with so many things throughout my life. Like, oh, I have nothing to share. I have nothing to add. I have nothing to express. I have nothing to offer and nothing to bring to the table. And it's just like this whole sort of narrative that continues to say that. And so I don't express, I don't share, I don't, you know, make something or create something as if there's any degree of certainty in that, as if I could possibly know what I have to express. Like the amount of things that I've, like, it's been such a big story for me. Like, oh, I can't, I have nothing to share or add or express. And like, I can, like, it's still in there. You know, it's crazy because I have, you know, shared a lot of things. I've expressed a lot of things throughout my life. And there can still absolutely be that narrative. It's like, no, that's a stupid thing to do. It's a silly thing to say. Can't express this. Can't share that. Because like, it's always going to be there. It's always there if I want to look at it. The ability to judge yourself is always going to be there. No matter how many times you do something, no matter how many ways you express yourself, no matter how much, you know, you could even tell yourself like, oh, I can't do this until it's like this. Even when you get it like that, you know, even when you say it in the best way, the perfect way, create a video that's so perfect, like even then you still have the opportunity to judge it. Even then you could come up with this, you know, idea that you think is the best in the world, and you get all of this market analysis done and this confirmation, people really are going to appreciate it, and one person could still be like, no, I think that's a stupid thing. And if you give that credence, or if you're doing it for that, if you're not just expressing yourself, like that can have the same pull despite all the other things not saying that. And so who's it really come down to? Like, who's really the priority? Who's really the focus? If there is no control and how it's going to be taken in, then it's like, it's on me to choose. Just be like, no, I'm going to say this because I feel like saying this. I'm going to express this because I feel like expressing this. I'm going to, you know, make this video because I feel like making this video. And that can be the end of it. Like once it's out there, once it's expressed, there's no way of knowing how it's going to be looked at, how it's going to be perceived. And if I'm assuming that, you know, I can't share or say something, like how much is that holding myself back? How much is that getting in the way of me just interacting with someone or someone else who's on the other side thinking the same exact thing as me? And so me expressing something is just opening a door to then a connection right there. And who am I to not open that door? And like, it's always there. There's always something to express, always something to share, always something to make. And the more you do it, it's like the quieter, you know, those things get, the more you're just like, oh, I can do this. Or you at least see that it's a possibility, you know? And until then, like, it's just in your head, assuming that, you know, assuming you can't do things. And so doing it at first isn't always going to be comfortable because it's different. It's a change. It's a shift, like making a vlog that you've never made before because you've always told yourself you can't, or it's like your ideas aren't worth sharing. My stuff isn't worth sharing. Like, you don't even know that. You're just telling yourself that. You're just assuming that, maybe because of one experience, maybe because of a couple experiences, maybe it was one little comment throughout your life. But if that's all it is, then like, you don't have to keep looking at that. You don't have to keep focusing on that. You know, you can just start, you can just start sharing yourself and understanding that it's not going to be perfect. Like, nothing's going to be expressed perfectly ever. And when you first start, you know, it's going to be back and forth. And that's the process of, you know, learning and growing. Like, you almost forget that process of learning and growth, because like most of it happened or felt like it happened when we were a kid, when there wasn't so much concern, like wasn't so much ability to judge ourselves. And so now it's like we have that same ability, to try new things, to jump into new stuff. And if the judgment, the potential for judgment is always going to be there, that little voice telling you, no, you can't do this, is always going to be there, then it doesn't have to be something that's prioritized. You know, it doesn't have to be something that's looked at or even a focus, and just be like, oh, that's there. Okay. And that doesn't have to indicate anything about what I choose to do, because I can make this choice right now.
Exactly. I was looking for some cooking clips possibly to share a little later on.
Oh, nice.
That'd be good.
Nice.
Just throw a few up there.
Yeah.
Just because that was quite the journey, admittedly. And I'm not going to lie, thinking about that fucking chili's making me hungry.
It is. Yeah, still got some garlic bread left. Too.
My God, it was so good. The chili was dope. I'm not going to lie. And we're going to share the link to the recipe when that episode comes out, because it's really easy to make. And frankly, it inspired a shit ton of conversation just in general, because it takes time to prep, right? Like, it takes time to prep your food and do all that. And so we're doing the same thing that you're doing at home. You know, we're just going through shit in our head, you know. But, you know, I was thinking this morning, because we went out drinking the other night. And as I mentioned, you know, upon going home, I wasn't necessarily firing on all cylinders. And I made the mistake of assuming my thumb was part of my bagel. So I cut off a small bit of my thumb. And since then, of course, the skin's been flapping loose, and then it gets harder, right? Mm-hmm. The skin hardens. Yeah. So now everything catches it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, ow.
Yeah.
Ow, ow, ow. You know, and then yesterday it was like kind of tender and whatnot. Now it's not hurting really that bad. But the point is that this is a great example of something I'm saying all the time. I'm not trying to heal. I'm waiting to heal.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying not to fuck this up while it does it. Like, I'm trying not to interrupt it. I'm trying not to get it dirty. I'm not trying to, you know, fuck up the process, right? Like, I got to make sure that I'm taking care of the rest of me while this does its thing. I don't have to be in there micromanaging the fucking wound. It's doing its own thing, right? I need to take care of the rest of what I can manage, right? Tell me that's not life in a nutshell. Like, we want to get in there and fix it. Oh, this thought hurts. Oh my God, I don't like it. I got to get in there and fucking micromanage it. It's like, no, it's healing. It's healing. You're feeling the itch. Don't scratch. You know, don't pick at it. Stop. You know, fucking up the scab. You know, let that shit heal and close and allow it. Just focus on what you can focus on. You know, take care of the rest of your body. Take care of the rest of your mind. You know, that's why, again, like these kids playing violin, they're going through shit in their head. Well, all of a sudden, they stop thinking about it and they have to play violin. What they don't realize, they're still working on it. Mm-hmm. They're still thinking about it. That's the amazing part, is your brain. It's not like all of a sudden your brain's just like, I'm going to stop processing because you told me to. Like, it's just a funny fucking thing, you know? Like, we're just like, and so you can be listening to music, processing childhood trauma. You can be listening to music, coming to an insight that allows you to feel more empathy for somebody who may have hurt you, right? Or for you hurting yourself. And those are always processing, but we actually get in there. Like, you know, it's not happening unless I'm watching it. You know, I'm not growing unless I'm hurting myself first. Right. And it's unfortunately just because we're looking for that evidence. Right. But if I looked at this every day and went, why aren't you healing? Heal faster. It would just take longer. I'd keep picking the scab. I'd be like trying to look at how's it doing? Think about that. You imagine your scab's healing. You keep peeling it off just to see how the healing's going. Does that sound backwards? But that's what we do. Right. We're finally starting to come to terms with our life. We're starting to get it like a groove. We're starting to get our equilibrium. All of a sudden our brain's like, right, but there's gotta be something wrong, and we fucking look for it. It's like, oh, is the healing happening? Well, it was.
Yeah.
You were doing just fine. Now you pick the scab again.
Oh yeah, Yeah, it's always playing out. It's fascinating how we'll get in there and, like, you know, because that's really the pull, or certain thoughts, you know, certain thoughts as you're here. Like, I'm just here right now. We're just on this camera talking, getting ready, excited for the marathon live stream later today. And, like, this is all that's going on right now. Like, this is the extent of it. And anyone watching this, maybe you're doing something on your computer as well. But, like, you're on, you know, on a screen and watching this. It's like, this is the extent of what you're doing. But then you can have this whole, you know, whirlwind of things going on in your head that have nothing to do with the experience that you're having, you know, nothing to do with what's actually going on. And the assumption that I can focus on it to the point that it does something, and, like, focusing on those thoughts does something, and, like, they don't, because they are still processing. Like, they're processing one way or the other, whether I'm looking at it or not. It's like having this sort of machine in my brain that I'm, like, opening up the hood, like, looking at the gears, you know, instead of just being involved in where I'm at. It's like, it's still going on in the same way. Like, oh, that gear, I gotta move that around and change this thing. And then meanwhile, I don't realize that it's, like, connected to this whole other component of the machine. And so as I tweak it, it's like changing all this stuff over here. And I'm like, oh, hold on. All right. Maybe I don't have to do that. Maybe I can just be involved where I'm at. And maybe that is the best way for it to play out. Cause, like, with the healing, it's the cut that's healing on its own. Like, all we can do is fuck it up. All we can do is get in there. If you have a cut, it's like, you can throw some Neosporin on it or a Band-Aid, but even that, like, Band-Aids even prolong it because it doesn't get the time to
straight up
to harden up and to heal properly. It's like putting in this, you know, additional thing to cover it up to, you know, I guess avoid dirt and, you know, maybe infection or something. But you get the point that we can't really speed up the process. So if all we can do is slow it down, then we might as well just keep, you know, being involved in what's actually going on, you know, where we have influence, instead of focusing on, you know, trying to have control over certain things or certain experiences or that process of healing.
Well, because straight up, like, being aware of it is enough, mm-hmm. right? Because if I wasn't aware of it, I'd keep bashing it on shit.
Right.
Might do it again.
Yeah.
That's how I did it to begin with, wasn't it? I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
Right. And so awareness is enough. Just don't keep bashing it. Just don't keep making it worse. Just don't keep fucking, you know, adding to it. Mm-hmm. The rest happens on its own. But we think, like, no, I gotta be aware of it and obsess. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and that's like, no, you don't. You can just be aware of it. And then because of the consideration, your intelligence will find a different path, mm-hmm. because it's within your awareness. You will start to consider it, you know, mm-hmm. and that's enough in itself. That's enough in itself, is just to add that to your awareness. We've talked about this recently in terms of, like, as you expand, as you grow, it's the recognition that what you're really growing in is how many considerations you are able to be aware of at once.
Yeah.
And the question is whether or not you feel overwhelmed by them, or you actually have faith in your ability to continue to operate within them. Like, even when all of a sudden you grow up to a point where you're like, oh my God, there's so much more happening. Just don't panic. Because while that feels huge at the moment, that's going to fade quickly. Your brain's really good at getting good at things. I mean, look at your recent experience with StarCraft. First day we played StarCraft, you were just awash. You were just like, holy fucking hell. Like, I don't even know what I don't know. Like, there's just so much there. But then you keep going, and all of a sudden your brain's just like, oh, you know, you go through five steps, and all of a sudden next time it's one step, because your brain learns that fast. Like, we really do. And we don't recognize that at all. Like, we have no faith in that whatsoever. And it's just because all of a sudden your brain's like, oh, wow, look at all these new considerations. Done. That's it. Like, to your brain, it's just like, done. Considerations logged, you know? And then it's just, how much are you going to panic about it? Because that's what stops you from considering them, right? The considerations come in, you panic. And so you block them out,
mm-hmm.
right? Your brain's like, oh, we don't like those. got it. You know, I'll put those aside. Yeah. Whereas if you don't panic, well, all you're doing is allowing your intelligence to continue to grow. You're allowing your awareness to continue to grow. All these considerations don't have to pummel you, because in fact, they don't. It's your opinion of them that do.
Exactly. And that's like, there's an excitement to that experience, like more considerations coming into play because, you know, yeah, I mean, in my experience, like so much of my life has been kind of avoiding looking at all the considerations. And something like StarCraft, for example, like, yeah, that first day I was almost paralyzed at certain points. Like there were so many things that you could choose to do. And so it's like, you know, because you got to keep an eye on a bunch of different things on, you know, things are, is my supply going? Is my, you know, is my army built up? Is this, is that, is this, is that? And it's very, you know, equatable to life in a lot of ways. Like when you're actually living your life for you on your own, like doing your thing. And it's an experience that I feel like I'm just coming to in my life in a lot of ways is, you know, being myself. And it goes hand in hand with everything. Like the willingness to express yourself authentically, like not having so many considerations when it comes into being yourself and expressing yourself. And there's almost like this balance between taking in all the considerations that you could be doing and then almost balancing that out with less considerations for how you should be acting. Because the more considerations you're taking in, the more authentic you're being, the more responsible you're being. It's like there's more of a willingness to authentically express yourself, because, you know, the self-judgment, the feeling like you're doing something wrong, a lot of times that can be assumed that, or that can, there can be some, not to say truth to that, but just this sort of underlying understanding of like how many considerations I'm taking in, which considerations I'm, you know, making opinions about, because you can't really escape yourself. You can't really lie to yourself. And as you take more considerations in and you're more self-honest, it's like, all right, we're taking all those considerations in. We're doing our best with them. We're not trying to avoid things. And so there isn't so much fear of showing up and expressing yourself, because you feel okay with yourself. You know, you feel okay with what you're doing. You feel good about the life that you're living, because you're not trying to balance out some other feelings. Because if you're just trying to feel good all the time, if you're just living your life trying to feel better at all times, there's going to be this underlying like, well, what am I trying to feel better about? And it's still going to be there. And you can still kind of run this sort of track of like, I don't feel good, I'm going to feel, try and feel better. I don't feel good, I'm going to try and feel better. Instead of just looking at, you know, oh, wait a second, I don't feel great right now. Maybe that's indicative of something. Maybe there's something there. But if you immediately jump to, well, how do I feel better? Then there isn't so much of an ability to look at that. And as you look at that, then it stops, you know, happening quite so much. And the cycle extends. There's more willingness to be yourself, express yourself. Because, you know, if it is, oh, I don't feel great, I want to feel better, it's like, oh, this person doesn't like me, that doesn't feel great, so I'm going to act differently in order for them to like me, so I feel better. It's like, okay, you could do that. That's an option right there. And that's going to be a fucking hellstorm of a life if you live like that, because then it's every new person you're trying to cater to them instead of recognizing, oh, I'm the root of this right here. If I'm not so, you know, worried or concerned about what everyone thinks about me, seeing that their judgments are just reflections of their own perception, you know, they're just judging themselves there, then I can continue to take in the considerations, not, you know, run from them and be honest with myself and, you know, continue to just authentically express whatever's there and feel okay with myself, like be able to sleep at night without running through this torment of, you know, oh, I should be doing this, should be doing that. It's like, I know I'm doing my best and that's all I've ever been doing. And with that, like I can sleep pretty well at night.
Yeah. Well, and this is it. I mean, how often is that just the conversation we're having with people? Like, it's the conversation that nobody has. I find it fascinating. Like, people bring up everything to us. Like, we go for a walk, we'll talk to somebody, we'll go to the bar, we'll do something like that, and we'll have a conversation. And people talk about all kinds of shit. You know, they'll talk about what happened earlier today, they'll talk about their health problems, they'll talk about their business, they'll talk about blah, 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 blah. But they never talk about why. They never talk about what they're trying to run from. They never talk about, you know, like, and I'm really invested in this conversation right now because it's making me feel a lot better about the shit I'm avoiding at home. Like, they never talk about that stuff because, frankly, we think that's a weakness. We think nobody wants to talk about it. There's no value there. As soon as you and I, though, as soon as we're just like, you know, yeah, it's funny how we take that shit seriously. And all of a sudden, there's just weight. And the person's just like, man, you're telling me. Like, all of a sudden, it's like they've just been given a drink of water after a long walk in the desert. They're just like, holy shit, there's liquid? What? Like, it's just so fascinating to watch. And it's just because we never just have that conversation, right? And it's because most of us aren't having it with ourselves. So I'm stoked for what's to come for Dualistic Unity. Amanda actually just dropped that she had been contacting local colleges here on Vancouver Island, and she's arranged for us to go and speak at one.
Oh shit,
we are going to be visiting in September, October. So Dualistic Unity is going to be visiting a local college, setting up a booth, and encouraging everybody to come and chat with us about the fact that we're all God. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely check that out. We are coming up to the last 15 minutes of this episode of Raw. I want to remind you all, we're going to be back at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Do join us if you can. We're going to be fundraising for Fidelium, as you can see from the link at the bottom of the screen. If you don't know who Fidelium is, you may have just joined us recently, or perhaps you don't listen to the podcast. Fidelium is a group of young musicians from Vancouver Island, nationally recognized, award-winning, enthusiastic, inspiring. It's incredible. So rather than say more about that, I'm just going to play one more clip from Fidelium to give you kind of a hint about what's coming later on this afternoon. We're going to get to talk to the leader of Fidelium live. We're going to get to listen to the a few of the members play live, and a few of the seniors talk to us about their experience. It's going to be a dope day. Your donations definitely help. I know we're already over $100. Over $100 already gained. To raise awareness for Fidelium on Vancouver Island in the local area. So thank you so much to everybody who could already donate. I'm going to stop talking and just play the music. Thank you. My God, I can listen to that all day. And in some ways I kind of do. It's funny. My daughter, sometimes she'll be walking by my bedroom and I'll actually have recordings from this performance playing. Cause this was one of the most recent performances I managed to make it to. I didn't manage to make it to the last one cause I was down in Virginia Beach hosting a retreat, but the ones before that I managed to make it to, and they were just phenomenal, as you can see. We're going to be playing more of these clips this afternoon after 4 p.m. Eastern time. Join us for the live stream. Every comment helps. Every like helps. Every share, everything. It all just helps. We really, again, it's just like, you know, just attention's enough to heal, right? Attention is enough for us to collectively heal. And encouraging kids like this is very much a part of that collective healing. You know, is this not what we want for ourselves? Is that not what we want for ourselves? Not necessarily to play violin, but to fucking play. Like with that degree of commitment and enthusiasm, and then at the end of it to look at it and go, I did that. You know, I did that and people benefited from it. I don't have more value because they liked it. I already got the value because I liked it. You know, and then we all benefit. Fuck yeah. I'm so excited to be a part of this. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. I know a lot of you are here right now as a result of us letting you know, like, we're going to be live streaming this morning and we're talking about this before we go into the marathon. So you just being here is huge. It helps in so many ways. So thank you so very much for being here. We very much appreciate it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we're already at $120 on the donations. So thank you to those who have donated. It means the world to support something like this, because it's it makes me emotional every time I think about just a situation like this, just kids getting involved in something that they're passionate about and putting in the time and energy to then be able to express with people like Trish and Jeff leading the way with them. They're incredible people and I'm really excited to chat with them again. We got coffee with them the other day and it was a lot of fun, and then that led to a music lesson. And yeah, it's exciting just to be able to do things, just to put energy, like we are these fucking bodies, beings, vehicle, vessel things, and it's like we have a lot of capabilities. And you know, the closer you get to that, like, oh, we have capabilities, we can do things. Like nothing that I do is going to make that value shift for whatever this is, or my idea of whatever this is. Like I got a lot more space and a lot more energy to just put into things. Like we're not separate from this world, from reality. And so everything you do, every ripple that you send out, everything that you say, every interaction that you have, every time that you're focused a little bit on yourself, and then you take a second to, you know, take a deep breath, take a step back and be like, yeah, but do I know that? Like, is that actually the case? Do I actually have to, you know, hold myself back? Do I actually need that thing that I assume that I need in order to feel better? Do I actually have to buy that thing? Or maybe I don't. And as you start to question that stuff, as you start to wonder about those things, it's like you're coming back to yourself each and every time. And then from that point, when you don't need anything, you don't really need much at all, a couple, you know, meals throughout the day, some food, shelter, water. It's like, once that's covered, like I got energy, I got time, I got things to express and things to jump into. And I can just do that because I'm my life.
You don't need 20 Lamborghinis. you don't need to be going around wearing like gold chains and shit. And
believe it or not.
Crazy.
Apparently you don't. Because, 20 Lamborghinis, you're going to need a big garage, and then you're going to
get a castle. Shit. Yeah. You know,
it's like, that sounds like a lot of additional weight, a lot of things to keep in mind, the additional unnecessary considerations, all to be like, well, now I feel good about myself. But what happens if all that's gone?
You know, you're fucked when one Lamborghini's not enough. Yeah. You know, like that's when you know things have gone downhill.
Like, oh God, just one more is going to do it. 20 is not enough. I need 21 now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man. And that's it. I mean, how long are you keeping those Lamborghinis for? You got to trade up. Oh shit. You know, it's 5 years old. Yeah. People are going to be judging my Lambo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a 2017 Lambo. Jeez.
Poor bastard. Right? Like, are you getting welfare checks for that? Oh, oh, man. And this is it, though. Like, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, as we were discussing with our new tech guru, Jazz, who's been operating the Discord for forever for us, and we really appreciate that. Jazz is going to be coming onto the team as more or less our official tech consultant. And then once we can get to a point where, you know, we're all actually making money here, we'll be able to get them on as a more full-time basis. But we're looking at this and we're going, wow, there's just so much to expand, but we don't ever want to make it so that way one person is making more than anybody else. Like, Dualistic Unity should pay you enough to live and then some, and everybody should have enough of that. You know, like, it's so funny because I know early on in the conversations we were talking about, like, who should get paid what, and you and I were just like, you know, flat fee, like flat rate, everyone. But every time somebody jumps on board and joins us in the group, they're like, well, you guys should make more, like, you started the thing. And we're like, you know, we don't want to, though. Like, that kind of defeat, like, I don't need more. Like, well, I appreciate what you're saying there, like, because there's some recognition, like, you guys have done a bunch of work, right? Mm-hmm. The fact is that has nothing to do with it. Why does that mean I need more? Right?
Doesn't at all.
But I could think that. Yeah. Look at me, like, hey, what about me?
Yeah.
Look at all my time.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do with that excess? Well, I'm going to feel really good about myself. Like, you're not, though. Let's be honest. You know, you're not going to feel real good about yourself at all. Outside of the temporary, we're giving you a raise. It's done. You know, that shit does not last long. And maybe you have enough to buy a new pool, but then you're sitting by the pool being fucking miserable.
Don't realize, like, you can be sitting anywhere and be miserable or not miserable. Like, it really isn't about the circumstances. It really isn't about the environment, the situation. It comes down to me. It comes down to myself, you know, where I'm at, what I'm focused on that isn't happening right now. And the more I'm focused on all those things, the more things, you know, the more things I own, the more things I have to defend, you know, versus not. But you can be that in any situation. You know, you could be in the most perfect, pristine, you know, beachfront location on a resort, and you know, the person's taken 15 minutes to bring you your drink and you're pissed off about that. It's like, it doesn't matter the situation that you're in, like, you can be okay no matter what. And so if that's the case, then, like, having, if we were to make a more than anyone else involved in Dualistic Unity, like, I would know that, oh, this is just to what? To fill this void that isn't actually there, that I'm actually creating in a sense from making more and having more and thinking that that makes me more. Like, I'm actually creating my own void in myself by assuming that something actually makes me more, because immediately I'm afraid of losing that thing because I think it means something about me. But without that, then there's a lot more freedom. There's a lot more energy. There's a lot more of an ability, freedom to just jump into whatever.
If you need more, it means you're less. The more you need, the less you are.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It really is reflective.
No, straight up.
Of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we really do it. Like, we really do trade our wholeness.
Man. Oh, so in needing anything, you know, needing, hey, buddy.
That's my cat, by the way. Let's see if he's willing to visit or if he's just going to, because he wants to play.
It really is that trade, though. The feeling of the willingness to recognize that you're whole as you are, you know, you're complete as you are. You don't need someone to like you. You don't need extra excess sort of cars and homes and money and all that stuff. And every time you do assume that that's the case, then it's a trade. It's a straight up trade. And, you know, don't want to look at that because there's this sense of, oh, well, I'll feel better, you know, if I buy that thing, if I get that thing. And it's not actually the case. Like, it's actually cutting down on your ability to recognize your wholeness. And shout out to the donors.
Holy hell. We're at $175. Oh. We're at $175 already. I mean, and I'm gonna tell all of you right now, talking to Trish and Jeff about this, about raising some money to help create a campaign to bring awareness, local awareness, so that way you can get more people in the seats so they can make more from what they're doing, so they can actually be able to continue to put this time in and not just volunteer, literally like 100 plus hours per month, you know, is volunteered by Trish and Jeff easily. None of that is monetarily compensated. None of that is something that they get paid for. They do it because they love it, right? But that said, sometimes they're paying venues out of pocket. They're paying venue fees out of pocket, and it's just because they don't have the time to market the event, to fill the seats, to make sure that they sell enough tickets to pay the venue and all that other stuff. And so we're talking to them about doing this to raise, you know, a couple hundred dollars just to do a TikTok campaign, because a couple hundred dollars on TikTok goes quite a ways. It really does, especially if you know what you're doing, you make a nice video, that kind of thing, just to bring up their followers and get them more exposure and to fill those seats. She really didn't like, it was surprising to her that we could do this, that even raising a couple hundred bucks was something that was possible. It's like, really? For what we're doing? It's like, yeah, absolutely. So we're already at 175. We set the goal today for 500, right? That's enough to run a good size campaign. If we earn anything above that, that campaign is going to be incredible. You know, these kids are going to get exactly the exposure that they deserve. You know, Trish and Jeff are going to get exactly the kind of support from the local community that they deserve, frankly. And we're going to get more fucking Fidelium, which is going to be dope. So thank you, everybody who could donate already. We're going to wrap up here in about 30 seconds. We've got a Patreon call right after this. Tier one call, $5 a month only. You can chat with us twice a week, three times a week if you join the free calls on Wednesday. As well as we have a free trial for a tier two membership where you can have calls with us 5 days a week if you can take it.
If you can handle it. So this has been a lot of fun. Tune into the live stream, 4 p.m. Eastern time today. Up on Patreon, it'll be a fun chat in about 15 minutes. And I'm super excited for everything we got going. There's definitely shifts happening at Duelist Community, doing a lot more just involved projects. And so you're going to be seeing more and more content from all of these, just getting involved in things because we can, because I don't need so much. And I know that you don't need so much. And so we got some energy to throw out there into the world, into reality, and we're going to do our best to continue to do that. So
stay tuned. Stick around. This is going to get to be a lot of fun. 4 p.m. Eastern time is when it officially kicks off, but we'll see you on Patreon very soon. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.